You're with SBS Radio.
Dahil sa maskarang isinuot ni Rian Difontorum bilang isang drag queen, napagtanto niya na kinakailangan niyang magpakatotoo sa kanyang sarili. Hindi siya isang gay man, kundi isang transgender woman.
So I started off in fashion. It was a really kind of peculiar start in fashion. I was not studying fashion or anything close to being creative, but I was really lucky one year that I got to go on a trip to New York. And going to New York really opened my eyes to the possibility of having a creative career. So then when I came back to Melbourne, I was so determined to get into fashion. So I went to parties, I started connecting with people that I knew were in fashion. And so just through networking, I was able to really put my stamp on the fashion industry in Melbourne. And I went from styling magazine photo shoots to then doing fashion campaigns and then doing a bit of filming and styling for TV and doing a bit of celebrity work as well, and then moving into studios too. So I definitely did have a really well-rounded stylist career. Mm-hmm. Until I then decided to move into drag.
So what made you decide to shift from fashion to drag?
Well, at the time when I started drag, it was all kind of just coincidental. I was styling a client at the time who was filming on a TV show, who also got invited to come to an event that was at a queer venue. And I met the person who ran that event at that venue, and they'd asked me if I was willing to become a part of this charity fashion runway. And initially I thought they wanted me to style the runway, but what they actually meant was being a drag contestant in the runway. No, this is not for me. I couldn't do it. But I always dreamt that every time I styled a photo shoot, I always pictured how I would want to dress if I was dressing in these clothes. And so I thought, why not give it a shot? And so that's how my drag career started. And I was really lucky to meet some more drag queens from that event. And eventually one of them decided that, you know, they thought I was cool enough to book for an actual performance. And then from there, I went from that one performance to then competing in a drag competition, which was a Melbourne-based drag competition, and was fortunate to win that. And then from that, I got to represent Victoria in the national competition, and I was really fortunate to win the Australian title as well for Drag Nation.
On your social media, you mentioned that drag allowed you to wear a mask that gave way to your drag persona, Aisha Buffet, and it also let you uncover who you are on the inside without the shame.
I think going back, I always knew that there was something a little bit more unique about me, that I couldn't exactly pinpoint what it was. And so when I got into drag, it really brought joy to my life, and I really loved being able to dress up and be this fabulous and fierce queen that I always knew was inside me, but I had the safety of it being makeup and wigs. And so as I developed as a queen, I also was able to kind of identify what this feeling internally was. And when I realized that it was that I am transgender, I kind of found the courage to then explain it and put it out there. And of course it was really difficult because I wasn't sure how the drag community would take to me identifying as transgender. And at the time it was still very much a little bit kind of rocky and a little bit nerve-wracking because, you know, it was a few years back and it wasn't something that people were open about. And so eventually, you know, I did it, and now for me, drag for me did begin as a mask, and it was great because it gave me the strength to come out as transgender. And so now when I perform, I still use my drag persona, which is Aisha Buffet, but it is now Aisha Buffet developed as who I am as well, as a person who is Rian. And so I've kind of combined the both. And so it's not, I'm not who I used to be when I started drag.
So when did you realize that, hey, I am transgender and I need to start living my truth?
So I remember I pinpointed that moment in about 2016, about late 2016. I remember I joked about it with like a few of my friends, and I would say it, and you know, it just became like a running joke within our friendship circle. But the more I thought about it, I knew that this was a real thing, and so I kept going along with the joke so that the idea of actually me being trans wouldn't be as much of a shock to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then so going into 2017, kind of over the new year, I did a bit of research on, you know, what exactly I had to do, the processes behind it. And around that time was the time as well, that was just after Caitlyn Jenner had come out as trans as well. And so there was a lot of media spotlight on transgender women or just transgender people in general. And so I was really fortunate that at that time there was a lot of information blasted all over the internet. Not all of it great, some of it, you know, from, you know, a gender perspective, which is great to hear about that, because not everyone's medical transition is as smooth sailing as they would like. And so, of course, it was great to hear that side of information too. But I did a lot of research about it. And then I was able to contact a clinic here in Melbourne who was able to give me a bit of information, but when it came to actually sitting down with a doctor and making appointments with psychologists and getting blood tests and what have you to prepare my body for a medical transition, the wait list was so long. And so I was talking about it with a friend of mine who made the suggestion to contact a clinic in Tasmania, which I did in the following days, and I was able to make an appointment. And within a flash, I made the decision to move to Hobart to begin my transition.
Did your decision to transition affect your relationship with others?
With my friends, it was really easy. There was nothing about that at all. With my really, really close friends, I was able to pull them aside and really explain it, and it was no shock to them. And then before I moved away to Tasmania, I pulled my younger brothers aside, who are significantly younger than I am. So between myself and my other brother, there's about 7 years difference, and then nine years difference between me and my youngest brother. But I knew that they would understand, so I pulled them aside and was able to talk to them about it. And my brothers are really cool about it. They're really sweet and super protective, of course, and love the idea of having a big sister, so that's really lovely. My parents, I was really nervous to tell them, just because it had taken so long for us to heal the relationship of me coming out first as a gay man, which happened years ago, so our relationship had finally healed from that, and so I was really nervous to then think that if I come out as trans, it might be that one bit that's too much for them, and they might not be able to take it. So I'd already moved to Tasmania at this time, and I had seen a psychologist, and he gave me the courage to kind of be able to come out to my parents. And so rather than sitting down with them, I thought I would do the right and safe thing for myself, which was to write a letter to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to write them a letter just explaining about everything And just explaining how I felt and how I kind of led up to that moment where I realized I am a trans woman. And so I sent them that letter, and at first I didn't really get much contact. I didn't have much contact with my parents. I knew that they had received the letter through my brother, and my brother had told me that my parents were a little bit upset about it. And I think it's just a lack of understanding. The Filipino culture around trans women is really quite relaxed. But the assumption, I feel like growing up and having visited the Philippines and having cousins that are both gay and trans, the perception of a gay man is that they're, you know, a bakla, that they are just, you know, wanting to dress up and they're, you know, wanting to be a woman. But we never really kind of were given the information of what a trans or who a trans woman really is, and the idea, you know, the idea of a medical transition and how they can change, you know. So the perception growing up of what trans women were just men dressing up as women, which obviously is not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, my relationship with my parents was very affected by it. Admittedly, my parents are really cool now about it. I obviously, you know, wear my makeup. Every now and then I'll wear a wig when we go out and we go have lunch and all of that. So we've normalized it, but if I'm being honest, I've not really kind of sat down with my parents and asked them if they've had any questions, or, you know, we've never really had a serious chat about it. When I moved back from Hobart and I moved back to Melbourne permanently after my 10 months, obviously my parents noticed a difference in my look. I obviously looked a lot more feminine. I presented a lot more feminine. And so that was a little bit of a shock at first. But now my parents are, like, super cool with it.
Do they call you Rianne now, not Ian?
I still let them call me. Well, they've never really called me Ian anyway. My family has always called me Jan. And so I still accept that as a nickname because Jan is still short for Rianne.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really trigger me or anything like that. They're still getting used to the idea of pronouns, but also I feel like I love my family enough to just accept that it will take time for them to get used to the idea of using the correct pronouns, or, you know, being able to accept the name change as well. And I'm okay with that because I can respect them enough to just give them the time that they need to get used to that.
You also wrote on social media that sometimes you question if transitioning was the best decision. Why do you feel this way?
Honestly, with that, it's more family related. Growing up, when I was trying to figure out who I was and, you know, when I first was discovering, you know, this identity of being a gay man, you know, of course, my relationship with my family is tarnished, and so I kind of got used to the idea of not having my family as a support. And so I went from loving my family to then kind of putting them to the side so that I could figure out what was important for me. And then, funnily enough, coming out as trans has, you know, and with age as well, I've come to realize the importance of family as well. Especially more importantly, my immediate family, so my parents, my younger brothers. And so I realize now that they're not people that I want out of my life. And so my transition and this idea of whether it's for me or not is really how my family feels about it. When it comes to the outside world and my friends and what have you, I'm a very honest, very straight-to-the-point person, and if it just doesn't sit right with them, well, that's not my problem, it's their problem.
Speaking of the outside world, did your transition have any negative impact on your drag career?
No, not at all. I think the fight there was definitely more internal within myself than external. Anyone that really knew me, they all, as soon as I told them that I was trans, they were like, I knew it. And I was really lucky that I was able to go away to Tasmania and then come back and still be able to work as a drag queen. So I was really lucky in that aspect. But yeah, no one really has any issue with trans women working as drag queens because over the last few years, it's been happening for a long time, but over the last few years, especially in Melbourne, there's been a big spotlight on bio queens. So women who identify as women and were born that way doing drag. And for a while, when I first started drag, it was very much something that wasn't really well known. And there were a few of them, but they weren't working as often as they do. But now they are hugely accepted and are very, very, have very much stamped their place within the drag community. These AFAB performers are a huge part of the drag scene in Melbourne and are very much accepted and welcomed.
What advice can you give to others who want to live their own truth as well, in whatever form that may take?
My advice that I always give to people that have asked me a similar question, although it can sound brutal, in all honesty, I always think of the life circle that we live, that we come into this world alone, and we will all eventually leave this world alone. And so the only time that we own is our own and is now. And so what's the point of being, you know, fake and having to put on a face that isn't yours when you can take advantage of the time that you own, which is now, and be your true self and your happy self, regardless of how anyone else feels.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.